This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Sabri Benishour, in for David Brancaccio. This week, we are taking a look at tipping. Norms around tipping have been changing the past few years, starting early in the pandemic. How much to tip? When to tip? There are new situations in which to tip, like food delivery. And when norms change, what we really mean is that our collective understanding of what the right thing to do in a situation is changing. That can be frustrating because A, our conception of what's right is a hard thing to change, and B, when expectations are shifting, you don't know where you stand. So today we have some help navigating the shifting expectations around tipping. Daniel Post Senning joins us. He's author and spokesman with the Emily Post Institute. Welcome.
Well, thanks for having me.
The subject of tipping seems to stir up some strong emotions, resentment even for people. Why do you think that is?
It sure does. And I would really hope that by the time we've talked about it a little bit, we can help people find a way to feel the gratitude that's really meant to be at the heart of gratuity. But there is no denying that there is some confusion out there and people are feeling some pressure around tipping. And I think that pressure can really result in that feeling of resentment that you're talking about.
Yeah, the pressure part, I mean, I wonder if that has to do with those little tipping screens that seem to be all over the place, because you kind of fill them out while people are watching. I mean, it's not just me. They are everywhere, right?
Some people think of it as a technological moment, but as you point out, it's such a human moment. When that screen gets turned around and you're both looking at a person who's going to potentially be the recipient of that tip and be impacted by your decision, then you've also got a screen in front of you. And I think that reminding yourself that tipping really is discretionary when you're in that counter service environment and that it really is up to you can go a long way towards relieving that feeling of pressure and really bringing you back to the place where you can remember that feeling of appreciation.
Maybe what we can do is go through a few scenarios of varying ambiguity around tipping. Why don't we start with restaurant service? What is the standard range for a tip?
We say at the Emily Post Institute that 15 to 20% is what you should be expecting to tip when you walk into a restaurant and sit down for table service. And this is one of the places where you can feel the most secure about that expectation. It's a pretty firmly established part of the social contract that part of sit-down table service at a restaurant is a tip that you're going to add to that bill that's somewhere between 15 and 20%. And the reason for this is that those wait staff, that service staff, is not protected by the same minimum wage laws that other workers are protected by.
Is it ever okay to not tip?
In general, if you're ever thinking about not tipping when you've sat down for table service, you've usually invested enough time and you've participated in that experience enough that it's really part of your responsibility to be sure that you're talking to someone about it and the reasons why you wouldn't be tipping. And my guess is that under most circumstances, the restaurant's going to be responding by wanting to take care of you in some way, maybe not charge you for the meal or maybe even provide you with a free meal at some point. Most restaurants are that interested in providing good service.
So it kind of settled territory for dine-in. What about takeout? Do you actually need to tip when there is no waiter?
In that situation, we really describe that tip as discretionary because it is. It's up to you. And during the pandemic, a lot of people got used to tipping as much as they could or even a standard 10%, even if that was difficult for them to do, because that was one of the ways restaurants could afford to stay open and stay functioning. Now that that social distancing environment is not so restrictive, some restaurants have held on to that 10%. Some customers or patrons have held on to that habit of tipping 10%. It is a great way to support service workers in the restaurant industry, but it's not the same kind of expectation that that 15 to 20% tip is when you sit down at the table.
I assume that's same goes for baristas.
Really, when we're talking about counter service, that really is a discretionary tip. It's up to you. Some people used to put their change in the change jar. Some people like to tip a dollar. Some people like to tip more.
Here's one that I think is confusing for some people, food delivery. I've heard a million different things. I've heard, you know, you're already paying for the delivery with a fee, so you don't need to tip. I've heard the delivery company takes a lot of the fee, so you should tip. What about delivery?
It is true. It can get complicated. And for exactly that reason, I always suggest that people feel comfortable asking if there's any confusion about the way a bill has been divvied up or presented. In general, the delivery charge is different than the gratuity. Believe it or not, it's something that accounts for the cost of the delivery, whereas the gratuity is really something that's a little extra for the person that's actually providing the service.
Some restaurants have done away with tipping, and instead they either, you know, pay actual minimum wage or more to servers, or they have a flat service fee included. Should we assume those funds do, in fact, go to employees? Is there anything we should sort of be careful about there?
When a restaurant puts out some sort of public display that they are paying their employees or their staff a living wage or the same minimum wage that other service staff that aren't table service receive, I think that you have to operate from a perspective of believing them that they do that. And most restaurants that are actively looking to reduce pressure on patrons to tip will let customers or guests know. The example that I think is much more difficult is when you're not encountering that sort of public communication as part of the way a restaurant or a store represents itself, but instead you see on the bill a 10% service charge. And it is not always clear how that service charge is either distributed to staff or retained by restaurants or how exactly it's used. And that is one of those cases where I love to tell people that it is always okay to ask about a service charge that you see on the bill where there isn't an explanation. But I think asking that question is a good way to get a restaurant thinking about how it communicates about that. And whether or not you get a satisfactory answer, I think is a really valid thing to consider when you think about which establishments you're going to patronize.
Daniel Post-Senning is with the Emily Post Institute. He's written several books on etiquette and hosts a weekly podcast on the subject. You can hear more of our tipping series at marketplace.org. Daniel, thank you so much.
You're most welcome. It was a pleasure to be with you.